Oh, welcome to Left Out. Left Out is a public affairs program produced by WRCT that discusses the news from a perspective left out of the mainstream media. I'm Bob Harper.
I'm Danny Slater.
And today's program is produced by Alberto Guzman for the first time. Listeners are welcome to call us at 412-268-9728 or to send electronic mail to bob@leftout.info during the program, and we'll be monitoring that as well. A couple of announcements today on a gorgeous Tuesday afternoon. Finally, spring has arrived in Pittsburgh. I hope you're all outside and enjoying the weather while you're listening to us. We're down here in the basement, trapped in the dark, doing the program. So a couple of announcements to begin with. One is to remind our listeners, as ever, to listen to Democracy Now! Every morning on WRCT, which is broadcast at 8 from 8 to 9 a.m. Every weekday here at 88.3 FM. The other announcement to make is that I will be appearing on WQED's off-cue program on April 22nd, 2005. I've been on twice before. For those of you who don't know, it's a political discussion group hosted by Chris Moore, who also works at KDKA, doing a weekend call-in show, one of my favorites in Pittsburgh, in fact. And generally, the other guests are Ruth Ann Daly, who's a writer for the Post-Gazette, Fred Hansberger, who probably needs no introduction to any radio audience in Pittsburgh, and Alan Cox, who's a DJ on one of the FM commercial mm-hmm. stations in Pittsburgh. I'm not sure which one it is. So I'll look forward to being on there.
So today we have a call-in guest named Nathan Wilcox. Nathan, are you there?
I am.
Nathan is a... Well, I don't know if he's one of the directors of the Pan Environment Organization. It's an environmental organization for the state of Pennsylvania, and I think it's based in Philadelphia. And so Nathan is an expert on issues surrounding energy production, the effects of various types of energy generation service methods, and so on. So Nathan, just to get the discussion started. Today's Post Gazette, there was an article about a new coke plant that got quickly approved, and maybe you could just talk about that for a second.
Sure, this is a new facility up near Evansburg, and basically, coke, as folks may be familiar, is a key element in making steel, and it's made by baking coal at very high temperatures. This is a new facility that the environmental community is definitely concerned about due to a couple of factors, the main ones being what will be coming out of this plant. So at this point, they're expected to allow about 47 pounds of mercury into the air each year from this facility. And I guess there are also concerns about soot and smog coming from this facility. It's definitely something that developed and kind of slipped under our radar screen, unfortunately, but we're very concerned on the mercury angle, especially given that it takes far less than 47 pounds of mercury to cause serious problems for our public health and our environment.
I noticed that it seems like the approval was expedited, especially to just get it in ahead of a federal designation of Cambria County as a non-attainment area for soot. There's some sort of federal mandate was would have required a different disallowed this particular plant or made them change the way they operated it if they had issued the permit later. So that was like a federal, they were trying to get around a federal regulation, apparently.
That's correct, and that may be the reason, or it seems like that is the reason why this went through so quickly. And Governor Endell has made public statements praising the jobs numbers coming from this, but it does seem that things went through a little more quickly than we would have liked, given the potential environmental concerns coming from this.
When we talked earlier today, I asked you a question. I said, is there a way of mitigating the mercury? Is there a way of running the plant and have it not produce any mercury or produce less mercury?
The short answer is yes, and that is honestly one of the most frustrating aspects of this issue from the environmental and public health perspective. We have technologies today that can significantly reduce mercury emissions from coal-fired power plants. If you look at things like scrubbers, for instance, that they actually put on the smokestacks that are used to cut or used to reduce emissions of nitrogen oxide and sulfur dioxide leading to soot pollution, nitrogen oxide leading to smog pollution. Even those scrubbers can help to cut down the mercury pollution. But then in addition to that, there are also specific technologies, the main one being activated carbon injection, which is a pretty neat process whereby they inject carbon into the smokestacks and it collects with the mercury, cutting it out of the emissions that would otherwise escape into our air, fall down into our waterways, and then the chief way that it affects human health is that it ends up on the fish, which then can end up on our dinner plates.
I see. And so you're saying that they are not using this technology at this new plant?
Most facilities, this is still too early to tell, but with 47 pounds of mercury coming from the facility, I would highly doubt that they are using this type of technology, because this type of technology can achieve up to 90, if not more than 90% mercury reductions from than would otherwise occur.
So I guess the message is that the terms of the permit that they've been issued then allows them to pollute much more than is technologically necessary.
It would seem at this time, again, I haven't looked at the details of the permit, but with those high mercury levels, it would seem that the best technology out there is not being utilized in this case.
But by the way, in relation to that, in the article, it mentions that the original application from the corporation to build this plant asked for 538 pounds of mercury to be emitted per year. So they've actually already cut it 90%.
I see.
From the original request. So, I guess that would have been really, really insane.
Indeed, I mean we're thankful for that type of reduction, but at the same time, 47 pounds of mercury is
still a lot.
47 pounds more than we'd like to see being emitted from a new facility.
So more broadly, what kind of work is Penn Environment doing dealing with, for example, this sort of issue? I know you didn't have time to get involved in this particular one, but I wonder if you could tell us what you're up to.
Sure. We've been tackling this issue from two different angles. The main one that we were first doing was at the federal level. Ideally, considering that coal-fired power plants are the largest unregulated source of mercury pollution in the country, the solution should be coming from the federal level. And the Clean Air Act actually instructed the Environmental Protection Agency at the federal level to require the types of reductions that I'm mentioning, 90% using the best available technology by 2004. And we were doing a lot of work at the federal level to make sure that the Bush administration implemented this rule. Unfortunately, the Bush administration actually essentially rolled back the Clean Air Act, and the mercury rule that they came out with a few weeks ago will allow about seven times more mercury pollution for over a decade longer than if we simply followed the rule of law as set forth in the Clean Air Act. And so at that point, our attention really turned to the state level. And last fall, Penn Future, another statewide environmental group that we work closely with, filed a petition with the state requesting that the state reduce mercury emissions from Pennsylvania's power plants. So given all the bad news at the federal level, the attention turned to the state level. We are co-petitioners on that petition that the state is currently considering, and right now we're doing a lot of work to try and raise the profile of this issue, and hopefully the state will come through and do the right thing and start regulating mercury emissions from our power plants, given the lack of leadership coming from Washington, D.C. right now.
Well, it sounds like another masterstroke from the environmental president.
Without a doubt.
So this brings up another point I heard in the news this morning, which was to do with states actually trying to pick up where the EPA is leaving off. I wondered if you can comment more about that. I heard this morning that Washington and Oregon were instituting some new environmental regulations. I only half heard it, but they were somehow comparable to California's emission standards for automobiles, I think is the idea. Have you heard about that?
I haven't heard about that specific, those specific proposals, but I mean there are situations across the board where states really are having to take the lead on environmental and public health issues, given the rollbacks that are occurring in Washington, D.C. So if you look at policies ranging from reducing emissions from power plants to promoting renewable energy, to making sure that cars go further on a gallon of gas. These are all policies that ideally and most efficiently should be implemented at the federal level. But given the lack of leadership that we see in Washington right now, states are taking action. And thankfully, so I think both for our environment and public health.
That reminds me of there was a superb segment on Democracy Now! This morning with two commenters in the area of energy. One was David Klar, I think. But they were discussing, among other things, the Cheney Energy Plan that was so criticized because of the secrecy with which it was produced, mostly. But actually, if you read the plan, it's basically just a blueprint for continuing the status quo, burning more oil, more coal, and it's just a completely backward, no looking toward the future. And then they pointed out that in order to continue this sort of policy, the only way to produce for the U.S. to have that much oil available was through the domination, world domination, military domination, and control of the Middle East, and the overthrow of Chavez, and to get his oil, and it was just. They've sort of boxed themselves into this whole ridiculous, wrong-headed way of an energy policy. That's my pontification.
I think that's correct on all accounts, and we definitely were following that piece of the energy bill from the Bush administration closely. Thankfully, it has not passed at this point. And as you alluded to, it was due to a number of reasons. One, if you look at the bill, that bill will not do anything to reduce our reliance on foreign oil. And that's one of the most frustrating things is to hear politicians from both sides of the aisle saying we need to pass this national energy policy to make our country more secure. And the facts just don't add up. That energy bill will not do anything to reduce our reliance on foreign oil. The other reason it's been opposed is because by the time that bill reached its final days in the last session, it had become basically a handout to every lobbyist in Washington, D.C. John McCain said it best when he called it the No Lobbyist Left Behind bill.
I remember that.
Every lobbyist in D.C. had a certain carve-out from that bill that amounted to billions and billions of taxpayer dollars being spent on ridiculous things in an effort by the Bush administration to secure votes in favor of their bill.
So we're here for our listeners. We're talking to Nathan Wilcox, who's a representative of Penn Environment, an environmental activist organization here in Pennsylvania. In fact, their website, if I may mention, is www.pennenvironment.org. And you can welcome to have a look there to see what they've been up to. You're also welcome to call us at 412-268-9728 or send electronic mail to bob@leftout.info if you have any questions for Nathan about any matters related to the environment in Pennsylvania.
So what do you think about the alternatives to coal-powered energy generation? I mean, we've been discussing the output problem, the pollution that gets generated. There's also the other side of the process, which is the extraction process, which we've talked about here on Left Out before, longwall mining or mountaintop mining. This horrible stuff that they do. But what should we be doing? What about renewables and nuclear and conservation?
The main solutions that we promote are renewable energy and energy efficiency. Those are two policies that unfortunately are not promoted nearly enough in this country. Looking at energy efficiency, that involves everything from light bulbs to large commercial appliances. All those products can be made to do the same amount of work using a lot less electricity, and the technology is there to do it. Unfortunately, the federal government hasn't acted on to really promote energy efficiency standards as much as they should have with regard to those products. And then as far as renewable energy, especially in southwestern Pennsylvania, we're just beginning to tap the potential resource, which is wind energy in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania currently produces more wind energy than any other state east of the Mississippi, and we're only just beginning. And there's a lot more energy that could be derived from this clean, renewable energy resource. Nuclear power is something that Penn Environment does not support. Our main problem with nuclear power being that despite its relatively low air emissions compared to things like coal-fired power plants, you still have the problem of what do you do with this hazardous waste that remains deadly for generations to come, and especially in this era of national security when we're looking for the safest, most decentralized sources of energy. Nuclear power is neither safe nor decentralized, and so we really don't think that that's the solution where we should be heading.
Yeah, so, yes, well, nuclear, of course, has one of the advantages. It doesn't produce any greenhouse gases at all. We all know that there are risks, well, except for things like, well, for certainly comparing nuclear and coal. Nuclear has the waste problem, but coal has all the other problems we've been talking about. So it's not clear at all to me which of those is the worst. In fact, coal seems much worse, actually. It is clear to me than nuclear. But one other thing that was on Democracy Now! Today, I don't know if you heard about this. There's the issue of Yucca Mountain, which is supposedly the solution that the Bush administration has been proposing for the nuclear waste. Apparently, there was some fraudulent analysis going on there. Some emails were uncovered. Do you know about this?
I hadn't heard about that development, no.
So some engineers or people who were supposed to do the analysis of the process decided that...
They've been falsifying their data, apparently. So all of the data they've had on studies that they're required to do for preparing the site for nuclear waste disposal, it's not clear now anymore how much of that can be relied on because they're openly admitting to just fudging the data. So you might, Nathan, you might be interested in looking into this because it's clearly relevant to the practice anyway, if not the theory of using nuclear methods for energy, for generating energy, because I think that's where the tension, I think, comes in, and Danny's referring to, is that, in principle, one can imagine situations by which there would be fairly safe and clean uses of nuclear energy. In practice, we've never seen that. We've seen all these sort of high pressurized water reactors that were very unsafe because very unstable. As we all know about transporting the waste and things that you've mentioned. But we've also had people on Left Out who are talking about more modern alternatives that aren't nearly as don't suffer from these problems. On the other hand, they're not really being developed either.
Yeah.
So it's a little unclear what the future of that is going to be.
Maybe we could just talk about one more brief topic with you. There was another article in the Post-Gazette a few days ago. I don't have a reference to it right now in front of me, but it was had to do with a survey of all the rivers done in Pennsylvania, and it turned out that the number of miles of polluted water has gone up. Are you familiar with that survey that was done?
I'm not familiar with that specific survey, but I definitely am familiar with the incredible amount of polluted waterways that we have in Pennsylvania due to a number of factors, but acid mine drainage being chief among them.
What does that mean?
Can you explain?
Yeah sure. It basically, from the many coal mines and the abandoned coal mines that we have throughout the state, when these are left open, they create huge problems for water pollution because when rainwater hits them, it runs off of the coal into our waterways, into our groundwater, and it can create huge pollution problems. That's actually the chief cause of water pollution in Pennsylvania right now.
You know, I think people don't really – I think they're not aware of this pollution, the fact that pollution is getting worse. I mean, there's a talk about, Lake Erie was a dead body of water 20 years ago, and now there are fish in it. Okay, so things are getting better, right? But when you actually look at what's going on, actually look at the detailed surveys and stuff, things are actually getting worse.
Yeah, and there are many different sources out there for the water pollution beyond the acid mine drainage. There's also the issue of agriculture and watching runoff from large farms across the state into our waterways is another issue that in Pennsylvania we have to watch pretty closely.
So another topic that I've noticed on the Penn Environment website that has been a topic on Left Out before is urban sprawl, and that's an issue that's very important out here in western Pennsylvania because the trends for various reasons, including tax increment financing for development and so on, have contributed greatly to sprawl. And I wondered what you and Penn Environment has to say about this.
As far as the sprawl issue in general?
Yeah, or in general and how it affects the environment, what we should be doing about it.
Yeah, it's a very complex but yet cut and dry issue. Basically, in Pennsylvania, we've been growing in a way that's not smart, that doesn't protect our environment, and it doesn't improve our quality of life either. I'm from the other corner of the state in the suburbs of Philadelphia. I have seen this just as bad, if not worse, over the past few years. It's problematic for our environment from a couple of different respects. Obviously, when you are clearing open space, be it a forest or be it farmland, you're losing some of the natural environment, trees, open spaces that are important, not only for from a human perspective as far as trees sucking up a lot of air pollution and that sort of thing, but from a environmental perspective of loss of habitat for species throughout the state. You also run into the problem of water runoff. Whenever you are paving over places, that means that the water and water pollution it doesn't have any place to seep into. It just runs along the surface, and that can create both flooding issues, but then water pollution issues as well. And this is an issue that I think Pennsylvanians can connect to. From our experience, just talking to citizens across the state, everyone can think of the farmhouse that used to be near their place that is now a Walmart, and it's really unfortunate, but thankfully our leaders in Harrisburg do have a chance to do something about this, mainly through increasing conservation funding, and this is a proposal that's currently before the Pennsylvania Senate. Basically, all we want to do is put something on the ballot, let the voters approve an increase in conservation funding, and that's all we're asking for. If the Senate acts within the next week or so, then we could have this come to fruition for the spring ballot. If they don't, then we might have to wait a lot longer to see our open spaces protected.
Alrighty. Well, thank you very much for calling in today. We've been talking with Nathan Wilcox, who's representing Penn Environment, who's an environmental activist agency in Pennsylvania, and you can look at their website at www.pennenvironment.org for further information. We'll take a brief break, and we'll come back in a few minutes.